In a city split by a polluted river, where neon lights cast shadows as deep as secrets, Persephone's carefully constructed life shatters in an instant. The announcement of her engagement to Zeus, the most powerful man in Olympus and rumored murderer of three previous wives, wasn't just unexpected. It was made without her consent. With her own mother's complicity in this arrangement, Persephone makes a split-second decision that changes everything. She runs. Barefoot and desperate, she flees across the forbidden Cypress Bridge into the lower city, where myth becomes reality as she collides with the one man Zeus fears, Hades. Help becomes both plea and turning point as she chooses potential danger with a stranger over certain doom with Zeus. When Hades catches her around the waist and declares, "She's in my territory now," it marks the beginning of a bargain that will transform them both. Olympus straddles the river Styx with stark contrasts between its halves. The upper city gleams with wealth, controlled by 13 families under Zeus's rule. The lower city thrives in neon-lit danger, governed by Hades from his obsidian tower, a figure many believe is merely legend. Despite its gritty reputation, the lower city fosters community through shared information, neighborhood security, and resource distribution. This solidarity reflects Hades' leadership style, demanding loyalty but returning it in equal measure. The city's political landscape weaponizes relationships. Zeus pursues Persephone to control her mother Demeter, who supplies the city's food. Demeter's willingness to sacrifice her daughter reveals her prioritization of power over family. Though one of the 13, Hades has cultivated mythical status, allowing Zeus to spread rumors of his death while he builds parallel power, gaining freedom at the cost of isolation. The River Styx Treaty forbids either leader from crossing into the other's territory without triggering war. When Hades breaks this to rescue Persephone's sister Eurydice, he risks everything and everyone I'm responsible for, knowing Zeus will retaliate. Their initial interactions establish a dynamic that defies typical romance tropes. Hades first appears threatening, pinning Persephone against his chest, yet this proves performative, meant to warn off Zeus's men rather than harm her. Their relationship evolves through humanizing moments. When Hades removes glass from Persephone's injured feet, she realizes, "A monster would have abandoned me." His gothic mansion, initially intimidating with dark hardwood and deep red carpets, becomes her sanctuary. Persephone defies her perfect daughter image, revealing unexpected strength. When Hades suggests she'll end up popping out Zeus's asshole children, she slaps him and declares, "I'll die first," earning his respect and shifting their power dynamic. Initially naive about Olympus's politics, Persephone quickly learns to navigate its treachery. When confronted by Aphrodite's dangerous son Eros, she responds with equal steel. "Funny, but a lot of people in the upper city have pissed me off." The monster and the princess discover they're both more and less than their assigned roles, finding in each other the freedom to be authentic. Their arrangement begins as calculated politics, but evolves into something deeper. The terms, she'll stay with him for 3 months, protected by him, belonging to him, and obeying him, while they create public displays making her undesirable to Zeus. This bargain offers Persephone safety until she can access her trust fund and leave Olympus. This arrangement creates space for both to explore suppressed desires. For Persephone, it provides permission to embrace her sexuality without judgment. Hades' discussions about preferences, insistence on safe words, and boundary checks transform potential power imbalances into expressions of trust. Their first public scene at Hades' club demonstrates these dynamics. While appearing controlling, he's actually creating a carefully choreographed experience for her pleasure and safety. When he discovers she's wearing nothing under her dress, his question reveals his concern. "Is that the truth, or did you think you could tempt me into doing what you want?" As their relationship deepens, the lines between performance and authenticity blur, revealing hidden vulnerabilities in both. This story explores freedom's paradoxical nature. Persephone initially seeks escape through her trust fund, but discovers true freedom isn't about location, but authenticity and choice. With Hades, Persephone finds unexpected liberty and submission. During intimate moments, she embraces previously suppressed desires, finding release in relinquishing control within negotiated boundaries. "I can breathe with him," she tells her sisters, explaining how she doesn't need to pretend or be perfect with him. This emotional freedom, being her authentic self without judgment, proves more valuable than physical escape. Hades also finds liberation through their relationship. After decades of isolation behind his fearsome reputation, he gradually lowers his defenses. When he reveals his burn scars in full light, it represents both physical and emotional vulnerability. Her acceptance, telling him his scars are beautiful because they represent strength and survival, heals deeper wounds than those on his skin. The greenhouse becomes a symbol of this freedom. This rooftop sanctuary represents Hades' refuge from childhood trauma. Sharing this space with Persephone shows his willingness to let her into the most private corners of his life. The journey from trauma to healing forms the emotional core of this story. Both protagonists carry deep wounds. Hades from the fire that killed his parents and left him scarred. Persephone from years of being molded into her mother's perfect daughter while suppressing her true self. Their healing occurs through mutual vulnerability. Hades shares his greenhouse sanctuary, while Persephone confesses fantasies she's never acknowledged. These exchanges create intimacy beyond physical connection, allowing both to lower their defenses. The adoption of three abandoned puppies becomes a powerful metaphor for their healing journey. Finding the black puppies at Cyprus Bridge parallels their own stories of abandonment. Hades taking all three despite warnings demonstrates his growing capacity for nurturing. Naming them together, Cerberus, Charybdis, and Scylla, symbolizes their creation of family. By the story's conclusion, both have made significant progress. Their relationship provides the safety necessary to confront their pasts and build a healthier future together. Isn't that what love at its best offers? Not an escape from our wounds, but a safe place to heal them. In this modern Olympus, ancient archetypes gain fresh relevance. Persephone crosses the river Styx willingly, choosing Hades over Zeus's unwanted attention. The pomegranate seeds become her safe word, a symbol of agency rather than entrapment. The story explores core Greek mythology themes, fate versus free will, hubris's consequences, and complex morality. Zeus's downfall echoes tales where powerful figures collapse through arrogance. The River Styx Treaty recalls sacred oaths binding even gods. By reimagining these ancient stories in neon-lit streets and modern power structures, we see why myths endure. They speak to fundamental human experiences across millennia. When Persephone and Hades choose each other despite obstacles, they transform an abduction tale into one of agency and desire. Their exchange of "I love yous" represents the ultimate choice, freely choosing each other in a world where true choice is the rarest power.